Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in this lecture, we continue our topic of occupation to opportunity, the calling of every Christian out of darkness into light to be the baptized priesthood of God, reigning on earth here to benefit neighbor, that the Lord has been merciful towards us so that we can be merciful towards our neighbor. The Lord continues to love us and sustain us and care for us in our body and our soul. And then we can be a blessing to others as the Lord has blessed us, as we see unique opportunities that the Lord gives to us. And again, in this realm of opportunity, we talk about making the best use of our time in a similar way with that Good Samaritan who has the opportunity to be of help to the neighbor who is in need. So let's continue our discussion in Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes to us saying this at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Again, as those who have been baptized, we have been united with Christ. We have been clothed with Christ. We have been redeemed in Christ. Our bodies have been redeemed for fruit for God. And this fruit is born in the help of neighbor. So that our mouths have been redeemed, that we may speak blessing towards others. Our ears have been redeemed so that we may hear the needs of others. Our eyes have been redeemed so that we can behold the places in which we can be of benefit to others. And so here you have this example even of the thief. The thief should no longer steal. Why? So that he can labor and then he could have something to help others. So he uses his redeemed hands for honest work that he may be of benefit to his neighbor as the occasion may arise. And the mouth, again, is redeemed so that no corrupting talk should come out of it, but that which is of benefit to uplift and to build up the neighbor. And so Paul will talk about this in Ephesians 4, this understanding that we are now in the light, not in darkness. We have been redeemed. We are in Christ. We are a new creation, and therefore we are beginning to act like a new creation. So that as God has loved us, we are beginning to love others. As God is merciful towards us, we are beginning to be merciful towards others. But yet we still live in this fallen world, and sin still clings to us. It still remains, but sin shall not reign over us. For we are in Christ. We walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul further, he reminds us, he exhorts us, he encourages us, he instructs us with the Spirit-filled word, saying this at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Again, in Christ, we walk not according to the flesh, not looking for opportunity to serve self and the fleshly, sinful, wicked desires, but rather we walk according to the Spirit and see how we can be of benefit to others. We have been given the wisdom of God. God continues to renew our minds with His Word, that we would understand to make the best use of the time that we have. For the time that we have is a gift of God. Each day that we have, God gives to us as a gift. And then as good stewards, we use that gift to help others. Not to gain favor with God, but instead out of thankfulness because of the fact that Christ has gained favor for us. That now we can look towards others as Christ looks towards us, having mercy upon others as God has mercy upon us. But the days, of course, are evil, because we remain in this evil age, in this fallen creation as we anticipate and wait for the new heavens and the new earth. And so Paul continues to encourage us, continues to remind us of our identity as the baptized, that we have been called out of darkness into light. We walk according to the Spirit, in which we continue to have our eyes open to see wonderful things in God's Word, our ears open to hear His voice, our hearts open that we would believe His promises, and our mouths open that we would speak His Word to others. So Christ in the same chapter is the one who has redeemed us, the one who has loved us, the one who sanctifies us. As Paul says in verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Again, we have the righteousness of Christ imputed, reckoned, declared to be our own. And all of our sin has been remitted. It has been taken away for the sake of Christ. We are a new creation. We have been washed with water and the Word. And so Christ redeems us so that we would be His instrument of righteousness. And then as those who have been redeemed in Christ, we have unique opportunities to be of service in which the unbeliever cannot be of service. And one of this unique opportunity rests in this one unique identity we have. We are the priesthood of the baptized. We belong to Christ. Our body belongs to Christ. It has been redeemed. And so again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul had told us, for through Christ, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. See, as the priesthood of the baptized, we have access to God for the sake of Christ. So in Christ, we have access so that we are there able to pray. We are able to petition the Father on behalf of others. This whole understanding of the priesthood of the baptized is we stand as one who has this wonderful gift of access to God that we can be of benefit to neighbor in our prayers. What better way could there be than to actually have access to the one true living God who hears our prayers for the sake of Christ? So we can draw into His presence in the Spirit through the Son, and we can petition we can make requests on behalf of others, both on behalf of those who are fellow Christians with us and on behalf of those who are not Christians, who are unrepentant, unbelieving pagans. But yet, as the baptized, we can pray for their benefit. Paul talks about this also in Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and continues on to 12. In Romans, Paul talks to the baptized in Rome, saying this, starting at verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Again, Paul tells us about the wonderful doctrine of justification, that for the sake of Christ, God is merciful towards us. We have found favor because the wrath of God that comes upon us because of our sin has been taken away for the sake of the death of Jesus. Our sin brings God's wrath. The blood of Jesus takes God's wrath away. For the one who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And for the sake of Jesus, now we stand forgiven. We stand righteous before God. He does not see our sin, and God does not hear the prayers of the sinner. But in Christ we are a new creation, and in Christ we have no sin. And the Father hears our voice for the sake of Christ. We have access, and we are able to pray, petition, make request on behalf of others. And so Paul will remind us again of our identity and our baptism in Romans chapter 6. Again, we are the priesthood of the baptized. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says this: we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Later on in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, Paul instructs us by saying this: do not present your members to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Again, we have been redeemed in Christ. Our bodies have been redeemed. They belong to him. So we're not to present our bodies for unrighteousness and wickedness. The members of our body, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, we're not to present that for the sake of wickedness. But as those who have been redeemed, those who are in Christ, we are a new creation. And therefore, we present our members for service to God as instruments for righteousness. And the way in which we serve God is by serving neighbor. And as we've talked before, in the unique callings that we have, the vocations that each one of us has, but also in these opportunities that arise, that only a Christian can be of service to, and specifically, again, in prayer. We have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And to remind us and to teach us and to inform us in our liturgy, that's why we constantly pray and conclude our prayers with that final termination by praying to the Father, and we pray to the Father through the Son who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. And so Paul encourages us, as those who have been redeemed, we are now instruments of righteousness. Not to obtain our own righteousness by what we do, but rather because we have been accounted righteous through faith for the sake of Christ, we begin to act righteously. we begin to be of service to our neighbors, instruments of God. And so when you get to Romans chapter 12, Paul will say this, starting at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. So again, our bodies have been redeemed. They belong to Christ. We have been crucified with Christ, and we have been raised with Christ. We have died to sin, and now we live to the glory of God. So then we are to each day arise anew and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God for the sake of Christ. And this is a spiritual worship that we do. That in our callings, our vocations, and in our opportunities that arise, we would then use our redeemed bodies for the sake of our neighbor. And not to be conformed to the world and walk again in the way of the flesh and of darkness and of sin, but again to put to death the deeds of the flesh and rise to the glory of God in Christ, that we may be of benefit to neighbor, not detriment. And so in Romans chapter 12, Paul goes on at verse 10, and he says this, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Again, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice so that we would use our body for the benefit of our neighbor. We would love one another, and we would strive to outdo one another in showing honor so that I use my redeemed body and all my redeemed members for the sake of my neighbor, not trying to get a selfish gain, but rather for the benefit of my neighbor. Trying as hard as I can to actually outdo him in serving to me, so that we understand that we are of service to neighbor and we are this instrument through which God works to serve the neighbor. So that as we outdo one another in showing honor, it is God who is working through us to help neighbor. This whole understanding of the baptized priesthood is taught throughout Scripture. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 5, in Hebrews chapter 13, that we have been redeemed, and we are a priesthood of God, instruments that God would use for the sake of others. So, for instance, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, we read this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so here the Apostle Peter teaches us how we are this royal priesthood, belonging to God, his treasured possession, through which God will use us to further the kingdom as we proclaim what God has done, singing his praise, telling out how the Lord has delivered us from darkness to walk in his light. And so the Lord continues to use us as his tools in this wicked world. In this fallen creation, the Lord uses us for good to sustain and to bring order and to bring his love and his mercy. And so, for instance, in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, we read this. As John sees this revelation, this vision, and he tells us what he saw. He says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and nation and people and language, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Again, this is this wonderful song of praise to the Lamb, as John sees the ascended Lamb who is there at the throne. And so he gives equal and honor to God the Father and God the Son. That Jesus is the Lamb who is worthy to take the scroll. For Jesus was slain, and Jesus, his blood, has ransomed the people of God. A people for God, a people that belong to God, a kingdom and priest to our God. And as those who are priests to God, we have access to God, that we may be a blessing to others. In Hebrews chapter 13, we hear these words. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So again, this is from Hebrews chapter 13. And when we talk through him, of course, the him is Jesus. Through Christ, we have access to the Father. So through him, we are to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Now, this is not a sacrifice for the propitiation of our sins. Only Jesus can offer up that sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God because of our sins. Instead, this is a Eucharistic sacrifice, not a sacrifice that merits the forgiveness of sins and favor, but rather a sacrifice of thanksgiving that rejoices in the favor and mercy we have for the sake of Jesus. So that we continually, as the priests of God, offer up these Eucharistic sacrifices. That is, these sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. The fruits of lips that acknowledge God's name, proclaiming what he has done. And then we are not to neglect to do good, but to continue to be these instruments of righteousness, that we may share with others what we have. As the Lord blesses us, we are then a blessing to others. And for the sake of Christ, these actions for the neighbor are pleasing to God. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, we learn about the need of prayer even for our enemy. So that we have this access, so that we can come before God. We can pray for our family and friends. We can pray for fellow believers. We can even pray for unbelievers and, of course, those who persecute us and hate us. For Christ our Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 5, he says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. Again, here Jesus teaches us to pray for our enemies. Well, we can't pray to God unless we have access to God. And it's through Christ that we have access to the Father in the Spirit. And we can gather before the presence of God to make our request known. And to make our request known for those who are friends, those who are loved ones, those who are fellow believers, and even those who hate us, those who persecute us for the sake of the name of Jesus. So even for those, we are to be the priests of God, in which we can proclaim the wonderful things God has done and be one who stands before God praying for that one who is persecuting us. that the Lord would open their eyes, that the Lord would open their ears, and the Lord would open their hearts, turning them from their evil ways to faith in God, like we have, for the sake of Jesus, this wonderful gift of eternal life, all by God's grace. As we continue in Matthew's Gospel, we notice that at the end judgment, when we stand before the presence of Christ, the throne, as John saw the ascended Christ at the throne, well, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us about the last day when we stand before the throne. And so as the priesthood of the baptized, we understand that there is this distinction made between the goats and the sheep. The sheep are the priesthood, and the goats are the unbelieving, unrepentant people of the world. So Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him He will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the King will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" That's Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. And here, when Jesus informs us and reveals to us this final judgment before His throne, you have the sheep who come before His presence, and you have the goats who come before His presence. Now, first of all, we must note that the sheep are already sheep before the judgment, and the goats are already goats. It's the sheep who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who has laid down His life for them. It is the sheep who follow Him, who know their shepherd. And it is the sheep who spontaneously, as the Holy Spirit continues to work in them as the redeemed instruments of righteousness, they spontaneously do good for neighbor. And so they do this in their callings and their vocation, whether it be husband or father, wife or mother, employer, employee, or whatever it may be, a child, a son, a daughter, a sister, a brother, a teacher, a student, a pastor, or laity. That in these vocations, but also in the opportunities that arise, so that somebody who's thirsty, you give drink to, somebody who needs clothing, you clothe, someone who is a stranger, you welcome them, but you don't go around saying, I'm not going to help you because that's outside of my vocation or calling. I would help this child down the street, but I'm not that child's father. Again, the Lord puts us in vocations to bring order to His creation and a place where we can serve neighbor. But also note that as the baptized, the Lord brings opportunities into our lives that we may clothe the naked, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, help the sick, and visit those who are in prison. But this is what sheep do. Sheep do sheep things. These sheep things do not make them sheep. Because they are sheep, they do them. Thanks be to God, the Good Shepherd has laid down His life. Sheep.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.